This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 84.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Well, I've just spent a fortnight covering for an editor at The Guardian, so now I'm back at my desk in my lovely home office. I thought that I would share some of the lessons that I've learned over the last few weeks, or certainly some of the things I've been reminded of working as an editor that I think will be useful for you in terms of getting press coverage for your business or brand. But before we get to the main part of the show, just quickly wanted to mention my Media Planning Masterclass in London on September the 23rd. That's 2016 if you're listening in the future. And essentially, I'm getting a group of people in a room for the day with a load of newspapers and magazines, and we are going to plan out your PR for the coming year. So if you're the kind of person that says at the beginning of each year, now this is the year that I'm really going to crack this PR thing. I'm going to be featured in loads of magazines and newspapers, on radio and TV. I'm going to pick up on opportunities that come up in the press for me to talk about what I do. But maybe you get to the end of each year or have done in the past and you're like, actually, I didn't really get round to that. Then this event is totally for you. What we're going to be doing on the day is actually putting together your media plan for the coming year. I'm going to be teaching you some of the tricks, or I say some of the tools that journalists use to plan their content, because I really believe that the more that you can think like a journalist, the more likely you'll be to get coverage. And you'll walk away at the end of the day with a fully fleshed out media plan for the coming year, and also lots of really, really juicy story ideas and ideas that you can pitch to journalists. So if you'd like to join us on that, we're down to the last few places as at the time of recording, and you still may be able to grab one. So what I'll do is I'll put a link to Your Year in PR. That's the name of the event. I'll put a link in the show notes. So now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to share five things I think editors would love to say to you, but are probably too polite to do so. Now, this is based on the last couple of weeks. I've spent a fortnight at The Guardian covering for an editor there, and being back behind the editor's desk, seeing people's pitches and press releases coming through every day and having to make decisions about what goes on the page and what doesn't has really, really brought home to me some of those frustrations that you can feel as an editor. And this is not to criticize anybody or bash anybody. This episode is really about being helpful, because the more you can understand about journalists' frustrations and what really winds them up, the less likely you're going to be to make those mistakes, and the more likely you're going to be, more importantly, to deliver what they want. So to serve them and be helpful to them, which is really the key to getting great press coverage. So here goes. So number one, I think most editors would love to say, please read my publication or watch my program or listen to it in the case of radio if you want to pitch to it. Now, I'm always banging on about this. I write about it in my book. I write about it on my blog. You probably, if you're a regular listener, you will have heard me talk about this on the podcast loads of times, but I'm still always amazed how few people actually read the publication that they're pitching to. Now, what I mean by that is I don't mean picking it up and having a quick flick through it. I mean really, really studying it. Now, to put this into context, I've been covering the education section of The Guardian for the last couple of weeks. Now, if you read The Guardian regularly and you were interested in education, so let's say, for example, you work for an education organisation or you've got clients in that sector, you should know the following things that I'm going to tell you. Now, you should know that there is regular news coverage, so that's shorter articles which give you information about real up-to-date stuff that's kind of happening now, and there's regular coverage on that every day at the front of the paper. You should also know, that until recently, it's changed a little bit recently, but The Guardian had some online networks where they produced content which was much more aimed at teachers and educators and people kind of working in the field. And if you worked in this sector, you would or should know that on a Tuesday, The Guardian has two pages, sometimes three, which are dedicated to education features. So these might be hooked onto sort of current education news, but they would generally be in much more in depth. Now, if you'd really, really done your homework, you would know the following. Now, you might be thinking at this point, well, this is really irrelevant to me because I don't do education, but just stay with me. It is relevant because you can apply what I'm telling you to any magazine, any newspaper, any program that happens to be of interest to you. So if you were a regular reader of The Guardian, you were really interested in following the education coverage, you would know that in this section on a Tuesday, this is the one that I've been looking after, they generally have two pages, sometimes three, but mainly two pages. They generally have one lead feature, which is about 1,500 words, and a secondary one. You'd know also that they try to balance the coverage of schools and higher education, so that's university level, and then further education, which is 16 to 18, or it can actually be a little bit older than that. You'd also have noticed that there are four opinion columnists who rotate round every week. And you may also have noticed that sometimes that section runs a kind of gossip type column called Speed Read. And you may also have noticed that sometimes it also runs some opinion articles as well by others. Now, the kind of people that pitch to me or have done for that section generally haven't done that depth of detail. And we haven't even got to the content part of it yet. So what I generally find is that people will be pitching me news articles when I'm not commissioning news articles. Or they'll be pitching me more kind of how-to stuff for teachers. And again, that's for a completely different section. And if you read the section that I have been looking after, you'd know that it was generally aimed at not at parents or teachers looking for advice on how to do their teaching better. It's generally read by policymakers and influencers. And I say teachers who are actually interested in education, which is very different to, you know, not all teachers are interested in education and the political side of education. So you may well be thinking, well, what's this got to do with me? But the reason I'm giving you this example is to help you to understand the level of detail that you really need. If you want to pitch, particularly to a national newspaper, you really do need to have studied that section, or if it's a radio show or TV show, that show, and maybe even a specific segment of the show, so that you understand the kind of content that is put in there every single week or day or whatever it happens to be, so that you're really, really familiar with the kind of thing. And the more that you can do that, the more chance that you'll have of getting a yes. And there's nothing really more disappointing to a journalist or editor to open their inbox and see that somebody clearly hasn't taken the time to read their publication. And if you think about it, I mean, I'm sure I've said this before. If you're a regular listener, you will have heard me say this before, but it's almost pretty disrespectful. It's like going for a job and not researching the company that you're going for a job for. Instantly, you wouldn't get the job. You know, if you turned up at the interview and it was clear you hadn't researched the company and you didn't know what it did, and you didn't know what its core activities were, you wouldn't get the job. And when you're pitching journalists, you're basically asking them to give you some of their space. So it either might be column inches or it might be airtime. And let's face it, I've just described the section I've been looking after. It's only got two main features every week. That's 100 slots over the year that need to be filled. So your idea is going to have to be pretty good to get commissioned, because there's only 100 spaces across the year. There's only two opportunities a week for you to get your idea in there. So unless you've really done your homework, then you're not really going to have a chance. So the second thing that I think lots of editors would like to say to you is, if I ask for a carpet, please don't try to sell me a fridge. Now, this is something that one of my editors I've heard her say before, but when you ask for help with stories, so sometimes I might send an email out to my contacts in a particular area and say, I'm working on a story about this, and I really need a young person who's trained as a hairdresser, but then retrained in the fitness industry. Now, I can bet my bottom dollar that I'll get 10 or 20 emails back from people who will say, I can't help you out with a young person, but I do have an expert who works with young people who won an MBE for services to youth, and I'm sure would have something very interesting to say on the subject. And that can be really, really frustrating, because the sender, I guess, just thinks they're being helpful, but you've got a very specific idea in mind of what you're looking for, and you've put it out there. You know, you haven't said that you're open to any ideas. You've said, I want something really, really specific, and somebody's come back with something completely different. So if a journalist asks you for a carpet, please don't try to sell them a fridge. The third thing I would say that editors would love to say to you is, please remember that the news waits for no one. So during my editing stint over the last few weeks, I've sent out various emails to my education contacts saying, I'm looking for help on a particular article, I'm looking for a student, or I'm looking for somebody that fits this particular criteria. Now, I haven't said in my email, I need this ASAP. But again, the kind of people that I'm sending it out to would generally, they should know the section that I'm working for, and they should have a sense of the lead times. But in lots of cases, I got emails maybe 3-4 days afterwards. I was getting some over the weekend, actually. And as I'm recording this, I've had a few today, and it's Sunday, and we actually went to press on Friday, with people saying, could you tell me your deadline on this? And I've had to go back to them and say, the deadline has already passed. You know, you're 4 days too late with this. So I think a lot of journalists feel frustrated because they feel that the people who get in touch with them want to help them with stories and pitch them ideas. And then when they go back and say, oh, yes, I'd like some help with that, then people can't move quick enough for them. So generally, unless a journalist tells you otherwise, if they say they want to do something, then they're probably going to want it pretty quick, like ASAP. So you have to ask that question. So if a journalist says they're interested in something you're doing, or you've offered yourself as a case study and they've said yes, then your next question should be, what's your deadline? You shouldn't leave it 2 days to reply to them and say, what's your deadline on this? We'll see if we can get something for you. They generally need it ASAP. And you need to, if you want to be featured in the media, you need to move quickly. So the next thing I would say that lots of editors would love to say to you is, if I say no, I mean no. Now, over the years, I've had lots of instances where I've said to somebody, thanks, but no thanks on that particular idea. And then they've tried to argue with me. So they'll come back and say, well, actually, I really think your readers do need to hear about this. And I think this is a really important topic, and I do think you should be covering it. That's not going to do you any favours. If we go back to the job analogy, it's a little bit like if you went for a job interview and you rang up afterwards, were told that you were unsuccessful, and then you argued with them and you said, well, actually, no, I think I'm a perfect person for this job. Can you imagine what they would think? So it's going to be pretty much the same for a journalist when it comes to, if you're arguing that you do have the right to space on their page or airtime in the case of radio or TV, it's probably not going to go down too well. And a little tip I'll give you in that scenario, when you do get a no, just say, okay, well, is there anything else I can help you with? They may well be looking for that hard to find case study, or there may be something that you can help with. So don't waste your time arguing. And the last thing I'd like to say, if you're all thinking by this point, this all sounds a little bit negative and journalists sound like really grumpy, antisocial people, then the next thing I'm going to say hopefully will cheer you up. And that's, I need you. I think that lots of editors would love to say to you, I do need you. I do need your ideas. I love it when people get in touch with great ideas because it makes my day easier. It means I can go home earlier. It means my editor's pleased with my editors, because editors have editors too. My editor's pleased with me. Journalists do, and editors, they do want your stories. They do want to hear from you. But if you haven't done those basic things like just read their publication or watched or listened to their program, that's when you will not get the response that you'd like. So I think, you know, most journalists would love to say to you, would love to hear from you and love to hear your ideas, but they do need you to do that essential spade work, if you like. And I just want to finish up by saying, if you're listening and thinking, well, I don't like the sound of this, this all sounds a little bit naggy and that journalists are a bit grumpy and demanding, I hope that you can see it in the way it's intended. What I really want to do on the Soulful PR podcast is help you and give you every opportunity to get really great media coverage for your business or brand. And I really believe that the more that you can understand journalists, not just what they're looking for, but also their frustrations, the better place you will be to give them what they need. And it's just the same really as your customers or clients. So the more that you understand your customers or your clients, their frustrations, the things that wind them up, the better place you will be to serve them. And it's exactly the same with journalists. So if you're thinking, oh, these journalist people sound a little bit grumpy, I'm not sure that I want to deal with them, then please don't think that. My final point really says it all. Editors and journalists, they do need you, and they do need your ideas, but they also need you to do the essential groundwork first. So I hope you found that useful. And as ever, I'd love to hear from you. So do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me @jan_murray. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come and join my Facebook community? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.